Good evening, I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to the Hour of the Time. Belated though it is, after the fourth attempted link-up with WWCR, we finally got someone there who knows what they're doing. I don't know who it is, but whoever it is, thank you very much. We've also been getting the attention of the enemy out there, ladies and gentlemen, and they've been trying very, very hard to do away with this broadcast. We are hurting them where it counts. You all listen to the broadcast Thursday night, and you listen to this program, many of you, since its inception, May the 4th, 1992. We're going on 2 years with the Hour of the Time, and you know that I have stated repeatedly that the purpose of this broadcast is to prevent bloodshed, to wake the sheeple, get people to act, to do the things that they should have been doing for many, many years, so that we don't have to go through what they went through in Russia, in Eastern Bloc countries, in Cuba, and many other places in this world. Socialism destroys people. Socialism causes misery. Socialism rounds people up and throws them into prison camps. Socialism executes millions when they take charge. And they always execute those who brought them to power first. Those of you who were listening to this broadcast Thursday night heard us talk about clothing, sleeping bags, tents, food, backpacks, things like that. Yet WWCR got several calls claiming that we were telling you to buy guns and go out and kill people in the government. Well, folks, you know that's not true, and everybody else knows it's not true. We're getting you prepared to resist an eventual takeover of the United States government. It's already been done, in actual fact. They're just preparing the people, trying to put together a consensus of opinion so that they will be politically correct and patriots will be labeled terrorists. Our purpose, ladies and gentlemen, is to get you to form militia units with these series of broadcasts with Jim so that you can protect your family and your community, and if it comes to that, you can help restore the Constitution of the United States of America to its proper legal and lawful place as the supreme law of the land. Anyone engaged in the destruction of this nation, anyone engaged in the destruction of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, anyone engaged in the attempt to disarm the American people, anyone who has participated in the treason over the years of subverting the Constitution and bringing us under the United Nations Charter without the knowledge or the will of the American people are engaged in treason. They are the criminals. We are the ones who are in the right under the law. Under the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States of America, every writings of our forefathers and all of the patriots and men and women who have died for this nation and for the Constitution throughout the history of the United States of America. Anyone who aids in this takeover of this country is guilty is guilty, ladies and gentlemen, of aiding and abetting the enemy. Now, you know that if you aid in the commission of a crime, you are as equally guilty as the person who pulls the trigger. No one out here is going to commit a crime. No one out here is going to hurt anyone. No one out here is going to do anything unlawful or illegal. But we are ready, and we will be more ready as time goes by, to defend our rights, our families, our homes, our property, our community, and our religion against those of you who would take it away. Now, you can say whatever you want about me and about this broadcast. The truth is easy for all to see. And the proof, ultimately, will be in the pudding. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Anger, ladies and gentlemen, comes from the fact that they never dreamed in their wildest dreams that anyone would have the guts to stand up on the air and tell the truth, tell it like it is, and call the traitors, traitors that they are. Anyone engaged in the destruction of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the freedoms of the American people, are traitors. Anyone who helps them are traitors. You are engaged in treason. Ultimately, if you continue under the law, you will be rounded up under the law. You will be tried by a jury of your peers under the law. And under the law, if you are found guilty, the penalty for treason is death. That is the truth. If you don't like it, I suggest you stop what you're doing. Because I'm always going to call a spade anytime I see a spade. And no one will ever stop me. I will continue doing what I know to be right until the day I die. And I will not be judged by you. I will be judged by my God and by no other. And that's the only judgment that I care about. It is the only jurisdiction that I recognize. Since you have taken away the supreme law of the land, since you have declared war upon the American people, we are no longer subject to your jurisdiction. You're lucky that we're very kind and peaceful people, because we're waiting for you to make the ultimate move that you will, which will give us justification in taking our country back by any means necessary. And we will be right under the law. We are right under the law. And we will prevail. Tonight we're going to continue with our series as promised, ladies and gentlemen. And tonight we're going to talk about weapons and ammunition and reloading equipment. And what do you do if you can't find ammunition? What do you do if you can't find the weapon that you need? And we have with us again the leader of a militia unit within the continental United States that has been established for some time, that maneuvers and drills regularly. He has been for many years in the military service of his country, and he knows what he's talking about. He's a woodsman. So, as people who know him listen when he talks, I suggest that you also listen. Now, we're talking about small militia units, legal and lawful militia units formed under the law, and the law clearly states that every able-bodied man between the ages of 17 and 43 constitutes the militia. So all you namby-pamby, wimpo poo-poos that want to give in and march with the chains on your ankles into the New World Order, you go to bed. We're going to talk some serious business here tonight. The rest of you who understand what this is all about, get out your pen and paper and make sure that you listen well. Jim, what kinds of weapons should a militiaman possess?
Well, he should be carrying a long-range type rifle. Some prefer a medium range, semi-auto, or a bolt action. Carry a pistol. One of the best pistols to carry is a 45 auto, the old military 1911. They're very reliable. You can take them to a good, competent gunsmith, and they can get them accurized. And they're a fine shooting weapon. In rifles, there's various kinds on the market that a person can buy. You want to have something that ammunition is readily available, and you know the other side is going to have.
So in other words, so if you knew who the enemy was beforehand, you would want to have a weapon that used the same kind of ammunition that the enemy uses, because the enemy might be your only source of ammunition at some point in the future.
That is true. Your current military round of 223 caliber is a good kind you can have. 308, commonly referred to in the military, 7.62 NATO. It is a good round. 30-06, to many of us, is a good hunting round, and still is. But there's no more quantities of military ammunition available anymore. So you're limited on that type of ammunition. Whereas your 308 is readily available, and you can buy it from stores that have military contracts that bring it in. Norinco from China, they're bringing it in from South America and other places. There's some Portuguese out there, Nigerian, and it's all 7.62. I've shot the various imported 308 myself in various types of rifles, and it's all pretty much the same. We didn't find any bad ones or ringers in there. They all shot uniformly in the various types of rifles that we tried.
Now, when we're talking about a rifle, we're talking about something that, well, it's named after what it is. It's a long barrel that has been rifled. In other words, there are grooves twisted into the inside of the barrel, which causes the bullet to spin in flight, thus stabilizing it and causing it to be more accurate for a greater distance. Now, just what kind of distance should a militiaman be concerned about being able to hit his target accurately?
Well, a militiaman should be able to fire his rifle accurately in excess of 500 yards. With open sights. We've done this. Some people can't see that far, and they have telescopes mounted on various types of rifles. You take any of your imported weapons, such as MAC-90s or SKs, you're looking at a range of about 300 meters. 223, you can shoot about the same. Your 308, 30-06, you're going out there to 500, 600, 700 meters, depending on the shooter. I've seen some guys really get out there. They'll take their favorite hunting rifle and do a little glass bedding on it and do a little tuning up on it, and they can do some wonders out there. It just depends on the individual. You have a lot of natural good shooters born here in the USA. A lot of them don't know it until they get out and start to practice a little bit, and then they realize what they can do, and they learn their weapon as well as they do driving their car, and they're always looking for something else to reach out to. You can go to various hunting ranges, target ranges, and you'll see guys starting out at 50 and 100 yards, and they're doing fine, and a couple of weeks later, you see them on the 500-yard line range, and they're real happy.
Now, there's a reason why a militiaman should be able to hit a target at quite a distance. And you want to talk about some of those reasons? If this country were ever invaded and occupied by a force that was going to subjugate the people in this, the American people, they would have a tremendous amount of technology, wouldn't they?
Yes, they would. They have a lot of automatic weapons. Myself, I don't believe in automatic weapons. I believe in a nice semi-auto or a bolt gun. And if you have a good trained militia person out there, they can take their time. They'll pick their shots. Most of these people that would be coming in are using automatic weapons, and all they do is a spraying effect, and they have no idea where they're shooting, because when you're firing an automatic weapon, you're firing anywhere from 5 to 10, 15, 20 shots at a time, and there's no way that they can see. All they can do is just throw lead at you. And you have a good trained militiaman, I'll take them over a man with a automatic weapon anytime, because he's going to pick and choose his shots. And when the militia, the person with an automatic weapon is up and working, trying to reload, your militiaman's going to be taking his shot.
Now, I learned in Vietnam that what happens with automatic weapons is they put out a real scary amount of fire, of bullets, suppression fire, they call it, which is supposed to make the enemy get down and lay on the ground, and you can have your way while they're doing that. But the truth is that most people who fire an automatic weapon are not very good at making the rounds hit what they're aiming at. So most people who are hit with automatic weapons are hit really by accident. And the truth about automatic weapons is that they waste a tremendous amount of ammunition. I was taught when I was a boy that if you take a bullet hunting, you bring back a squirrel. And for every bullet you have, you better have a squirrel. And if you don't have a squirrel, you're in big trouble. And I learned to be an expert shot real quick. And most American boys who were raised by fathers who understood what a weapon was really for and what the Second Article in Amendment was really for, taught their children that. And those children have grown up and teach their children. But most people never learned these things. The truth is, with the amount of ammunition that's wasted in 1 minute by someone with an automatic weapon, a person who's a real good shot could take a terrible toll on the enemy over a long period of time.
This is true. Most of you listeners out there have seen the tapes on Waco. Look at the firepower the BATF had, and how many hits did they get? All they did was spray ammunition around, like you would a can of paint. So if you take your time, learn your weapon, take your shots, just out on your regular target ranges, and you can have a lot of fun. learning how to shoot, and the more proficient you're going to get. You don't want to get out there and waste ammunition. I've heard a lot of people in my travels throughout the country talking that they burned up a case of ammunition over the weekend. Well, I don't know what they can accomplish by burning that up. One thing they're doing is taking a terrible toll on their weapon if they only have one weapon. Burning up that useless amount of ammunition is just costing money. And in today, the way things are going, you just don't want to throw that ammunition away, because that ammunition is worth money. And I don't see anybody walking down the street throwing dimes down the sidewalk. So this is more or less what they're doing when they burn up a case.
At some point in the future, it may be worth more than any amount of its own weight in gold, and maybe far beyond that. Now, really the only important thing, it doesn't matter what the name of a rifle is. A rifle is supposed to hit its target at a long distance, continuously. In other words, it should remain accurate unless you take and slam it up against a rock with all your might, and even then, most good, well-made rifles will remain accurate. It should have the least number of parts, and it should be able to be field-stripped and cleaned and repaired in the field, and, as we first discussed, should use whatever ammunition the enemy uses.
This is true. There's a lot of good rifles out there on the market. There's a lot of reliability in there, but there's a lot of junk out on the market. If you see something, for instance, that's $99, and you see another one that's in better shape for $129, you're better off going for the better one, because some of the rifles that are coming around are made up of junk parts. And I don't care if it's from an M1 Grand all the way down to an SKS or some other type of weapons that are out there. You get what you pay for. Have it checked over by a confident gunsmith. A pistol is the same way. There's a lot of good 9mm out there. The 45 automatic, as far as I'm concerned, is king. Then you want to start looking at the availability of ammunition. Things are getting in short supply. So therefore, you want to get a couple of people together and start doing some reloading. Start looking for 9mm brass, 45 caliber brass, 223, 308. Start stocking up on some bullets. Buy primers. Powder is very important. So all of these things put together is what you're going to have. You got to think a little bit far in the future. I've talked with people over the weekend, and some of them say, well, why can't I buy this, that, and the other? Well, it's all gone. People have gone into a more or less panic buying up things with the passing of the Brady Bill. Things are in short supply. Companies cannot keep up with the demand. And I've told people as far as 2-3 years ago, when you go and buy something, buy a couple of extra boxes of loaded ammunition, or buy an extra 1,000 rounds of primers or whatever. Stockpile a little bit. Put a little back for a rainy day. Well, the rainy day is coming, folks, and we're going to need some of these items.
I had to laugh because he said the rainy day is coming, and I got some music queued up here that he's giving my music away. Folks, we're not getting particular here. I know a lot of people want to, and they think that if you're not getting down to basics and telling what kind of cartridges and what kind of primers and what kind of this and that to get, that they don't know what they're talking about. And I can assure you that that's not the case. It doesn't matter at this point that we are the ones who teach you that stuff. You need to go someone in your area who has the time to sit down, because in an hour's radio program, we can't teach you all you need to know about primers and cartridges and powder and ballistics and things like that. But just to let you know that this gentleman here really does know what he's talking about. Most people don't know what this is, but I'm going to ask him, and I haven't asked him before, so I don't know what he's going to say, but could you tell the listening audience, I'm taking a chance here, because if you don't know this, I'm in trouble. What is a Verdun primer?
A Verdun primer? Verdun primer is found in a lot of imported rounds. It's basically used in European cartridges. A Boxer primed is an American style round. It has a single flash hole. When the primer is ignited, the ignition is fired through one hole, which ignites the powder to push the projectile out. A Verdun primer, when it is fired, has two small flash holes, and it burns the powder. And this is what's been used in Europe for years. This dates back to a lot of the first English rounds, where they used cordite powder, which was a long powder that was broken off in thin sticks, much like pencil lead.
Yeah, in fact, it looked a lot like pencil lead.
Yes, it does. And a certain amount was broken off, and then the bullet was crimped back into position, and they could, when they changed the primers out, they actually could use water pressure to knock out the primer, replace the primer, and that way when the round was fired, you had two flashes coming out of the cartridge, igniting the powder for more positive ignition. And you'll find that in most, it's been carried on into your modern day cartridges, and it's all used mainly in Europe.
Well, thank you. And we're at the point where we have to take a break, folks. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short pause. You know, it's unconscionable to me, folks, that anyone out there, knowing what's happening, having listened to the actual documented proof that we've given to you over the air on this broadcast, would actually want to sit back and do nothing. I know people all around this country who are recommending that you join the New World Order and work from within to change it. You people just don't seem to understand. This isn't going to be something that you can work within and change. Go back and look what happened after the Bolshevik Revolution when the socialists came to power.
in Russia and Eastern Europe. Look what happened in Cuba. Look what happened in Chile. Look what's happening in South Africa. It has nothing to do with black and white. It has something to do with socialism versus capitalism. The way the blacks were treated there was terrible. But socialism is not an answer for them, ladies and gentlemen. They're using those people to bring socialism to power. There are other ways to give people the justice that they deserve and that they need. Now, I'm not excusing the way blacks were treated in South Africa. I'm not excusing the way any person has ever been mistreated in the entire history of this world. But look at the history of the world. Look at how socialism has always used the plight of the downtrodden person to bring socialism to power, and then those people are always, in every single instance, in the same position that they were when they started. They're just as poor. They have no opportunity, no more than they did before socialism came to power. They have no hope of ever climbing out of the class that they're in, because socialism makes sure that there's only one class, poor. You pretend to work, they pretend to pay you. You have no freedoms. When you go to the store to buy a loaf of bread, you have to wait in a line that stretches for blocks just to get one loaf of bread. And chances are that when you get to the store, there won't be any there for you to purchase. If there is, that one loaf of bread is liable to cost you one half of your week's pay. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating, look at the real facts in socialist and communist countries, and you'll see that this is true. It is our duty, upon our honor, to fight to protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, if you understand what's coming down the line, folks, not just because I say it's coming, it's happening all over this country. Why do you think you can't find ammunition? Why do you think when you go to buy a weapon at your local gun store, they tell you you've got to wait 2 or 3 months? It's because people who understand and people who are loyal to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and to freedom across this country are preparing, ladies and gentlemen. They know what's coming. Responsible people will form legal, lawful militia units. They will be prepared to maintain order in their community because the enemy wants total breakdown of all social order. They want a state of chaos to emerge. You are responsible to form units in your area. You are responsible to maintain civil government and order. You are responsible to uphold the law. You are responsible not to allow rioting and looting. You are responsible to maintain the ideals and moral principles that this country brought into the world and by which it became the greatest nation upon the face of this earth. Anything less than that is irresponsible, unconscionable, and you will answer for it. Believe me. A power will emerge from this, depending upon who is the victor. We are going to go in to the best, most wonderful future that the world has ever known, or we're going to go backwards into the chains of slavery from which we emerged. It is up to you, each of you out there listening to this broadcast, to determine the outcome. You see, this is the only hour that ever was or ever will be. It is the most important hour in your entire life. For during this hour, you will decide your actions and your future, and thus you will decide our collective futures. You, each and every single one of you. You must also take steps
to protect yourself and your family. You're going to reach a time where you will need something that you can use as money, legal, lawful money, that everyone that you meet will recognize as money, and that you will be able to use in exchange for whatever you need to purchase. And what you need to purchase ultimately might even be your freedom someday. It may be your life or the life of your loved ones. The only thing throughout history that's fulfilled that function has been precious metals in their various forms, specifically coins. If you have a piece of bullion, whoever you want to trade with may not understand that there's not a piece of lead in there making it weigh and look and feel like gold when it may not really be. So don't take a chance. Make sure you have something that people recognize instantly. Instantly as real money. Call Swiss America Trading, folks. Prepare yourself and your family now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. You must do this. You must prepare your militia. You must prepare your family. You must prepare yourselves. And don't forget the most important of all. You must make your peace with God. Call Swiss America Training now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. Haven't, folks, if you don't prepare, you're going to see the rain more than you ever wanted to see. If we're prepared for this, we can come out on top. There's not an army in this entire world that can occupy the United States if the citizens of the United States of America are armed. And that's why our forefathers gave us the Second Article and Amendment. It had nothing whatsoever to do with hunting rights, are protecting yourself or your property, although they do come in very handy for those purposes. The real intent of our forefathers is spelled out in almost everything that they wrote and every speech that they gave. It was to protect us from our own government, should it ever become oppressive, should it ever get away from our control and try to enslave us. And folks, that's exactly what's happened. Take stock of the Bill of Rights and you'll find that there are no Bill of Rights. That's right. You heard it right here, folks, and I've been telling you for a long time, there are no Bill of Rights. You have no individual protections of your individual rights whatsoever in this country today. Understand that. And if you care at all, you'd better get real serious. You better learn to identify the enemy. You better learn to go to city, state meetings. You better go to political rallies. And when you see a traitor, you better learn to call that person a traitor. They have to know who they are, and we have to know who we are. Jim, you wanted to talk some more about reloading.
Yes, I did. When you find a reputable gun shop, sporting goods store, and have that salesperson explain the various types of reloading equipment out there, RCBS is a good name. Hornady, Redding, Dillon, they have a progressive loader, so does RCBS. They have good, substantial equipment. They're good companies. If something goes wrong with your machine, you call in, especially like Dillon's, and they send you the parts. They're a reliable machine, made of good quality materials. A couple of guys, two, three, four people can go in and purchase one of these, reload the different calibers. Look for your brass that you're going to need, 9mm, 45. Another good one, a lot of the gals out there seem to like it, is the 380. The 380 Auto is a shortened version of the 9mm. They call it a 9mm short. In foreign language, they call it in Spanish 9mm corto and 9mm kurz in Europe. It is a good, reliable weapon. It has knockdown power, comparable to the 9, but not quite as much. Doesn't have as big a bullet. But your favorite gun store or sporting goods store, they can advise you on what you're going to need, show you the different components that are available, the different equipment that's available for reloading. You also might want to think of getting lead together, buy a little casting equipment, especially for your pistol bullets. Most of your rifles, they tend to lead up, and you can't get the velocities that you can with jacketed bullets. So I would kind of stay away from the lead bullets in rifles. Pistols, it's fine. It cuts your cost down, so you can go out and practice a little bit more. As far as your Verdand cartridges out there that are being imported in, Verdand primers are about half again as cost as much more than what American primers would cost, and they're a little bit more difficult to reload, so I'd stay away from that. If you buy ammunition that is Verdand primed, just throw the empty cases away. If you're out in the countryside practicing, pick up the brass behind you. Don't leave a trail of brass out there that others can pick up and say, well, there's a bunch of people out here practicing. We got to investigate who's shooting what and where. So just pick it up, take it with you, put it in a paper bag, put it in the trash, and it's all taken care of. Your brass that is good, that is what they call boxer primed. You save it, and when a few of you get together, or you know a friend that does reloading, help split the cost with them and learn to reload. It'll be very important, and also you can save quite a bit of money by reloading.
Now, folks, remember that we're talking in generalities, and we're giving you the general important points that you need to understand in order to begin this process. We could spend a whole hour just talking about powder and you wouldn't learn anything else. We could spend a whole hour just talking about different calibers of weapons and you wouldn't learn anything else. The purpose is to give you an overview and tell you what is really important, and then you should seek out someone in your area who is an expert to gain the fine points, because even if we spent 2 months on this program without being able to see, have it demonstrated for you, you wouldn't really understand what was going on, most of you. Some of you would. Many of you already know and don't even really need to be listening to this broadcast. But let's go a little step farther. Now, if you want a weapon, to reach out, because I'm going to tell you right now, folks, what some of these people are teaching you is going to get you killed really quick, and then specifically I'm talking about this spike training stuff where they teach you how to fight another man with a double-edged knife. That's absolutely insane. If you think in your wildest dreams that you're going to be Rambo in the coming months and years, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be a dead bimbo is what you're really going to be. If you let the enemy get close enough to you where you're going to have to use a double-edged knife to fight the enemy with, you think that they're going to stop and say, oh, you want a knife fight? And they're going to pull out their knife and oblige you? Listen, some of you turkeys better get real smart. You're being set up to get killed real quick. You're not going to be Rambo. You're not going to be fighting with a knife. And if you let the enemy get anywhere near you with the technology that they have, you're going to be dead turkey sitting on somebody's Thanksgiving table. And that's the truth. Now, we've discovered a rifle that has a range of not 500 yards, not 800 yards, not 1,000 yards, but an effective, accurate range of 1,700 yards. And we know that it will do this because many of us have watched it in action and have seen what it's capable of performing. And there was an article written about it in a gun magazine. What was the name of the magazine?
It was the American Survival Magazine.
American Survival Magazine. The man who makes this weapon is in this area, as a matter of fact, and we may be making that information available for you, but we don't want to do it tonight on this broadcast. But this weapon is a marvel, and it's exactly what militia units need. If you can consistently hit a target at 1,000 yards and beyond, the enemy will be in terror. They won't even want to leave their fortifications to go anywhere. And that's the truth. And it will certainly keep them at a far enough distance from any of you so that you can maintain your freedom and your life. And that's what's important. Now, let's talk about scopes for a few minutes. Is it desirable for a militia unit to have rifles with scopes?
Yes. Some of your good bolt guns that your militiamen will have, a good scope is required. There's a lot of good scopes. There's a multitude of manufacturers out there. Bushnell, Bosch & Lomb, Simmons, Redfield, Tasco, you can name it. And they go anywhere in range from $49.95 on up to $500-$800. It depends on what a person wants to spend. But for the most part, a lot of your general purpose hunting rifles, I'm not endorsing any particular brands. I've used quite a few. Some are a little bit better than others, but in generalities, a medium price scope is a good one. And all your manufacturers make a good moderate price scope because, let's face it, you have a militiaman out there and he has a family and he has to have two or three rifles and two or three scopes. He can't afford to go out and spend $200 or $250 for each scope. But there's a lot of moderate priced ones that range from $49 to $149 that will do the job quite well. The same thing in rifles. A lot of people can't afford real expensive rifles, so they have to look at the moderate priced rifles to supply the family and his wife and etc.
Now, you have to understand, folks, that I read you the law concerning the militia. It didn't say you might be a part of the militia. The law doesn't say that you can enlist if you want. The law doesn't say that, hey, you know, you're militia for 2 years and then you're something else for the rest of the time. No, folks, the law says that every man or boy between the ages of 17 and 43 are the militia. Anyone between those ages who can carry a weapon and fire it is the militia. Whether you want to be or not, those of you who fit in those age groups are already the militia. Anyone who's not within those age limitations can volunteer to support the militia. What does support mean? Well, it's whatever your militia unit assigns you to do. And that's been an American tradition since the beginning of this country, and it's still a tradition today. Our military forces today have volunteer support. Units, organizations, companies, people who support the military. What is the support? What is legal? It's whatever the military or the militia asks you to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to take this seriously. You've got to understand that our future is at stake. If you want to march into a totalitarian socialist world government, understanding what history has proven to us that socialism brings, in my estimation, you are indeed a fool. And I hope there are not too many of you out there who fit that category. Folks, it is not a question of will you do it? It's not a question of should you do it? It is a mandate given to us throughout the history of this country that you will do it. You will do it because you must. It's expected of you. It is required of you. It has been the demand upon the citizens of this country since the founding of the United States of America. If you think that you can sit by the coming months and years without choosing a side, making a choice, and committing yourself to that choice, you're in for a big, big surprise. Now, we're going to continue this broadcast later tonight at 9 Pacific, 10 Mountain, 11 Central, and midnight Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to get more into specifics, and we're going to also take phone calls during that later hour. But we've got about 3 minutes left. Jim, I'd like you to fill that time with whatever you think is important that you'd like to talk about on the subject tonight. Try to stick to weapons and ammunition. Now, we know that they're already trying to create laws to outlaw lead fishing sinkers and other sources of lead in batteries, with the excuse that it poisons the environment, which may have some legitimacy to it, but not in the manner that they're attributing to it. So what happens? How do you get prepared for a day when there may not be any ammunition whatsoever? People can't get it now. That's the truth.
Well, that's true. I spent most of Friday calling different people I know all over the country looking for types of ammunition, looking for primers, looking for different types of handguns. And they're very, very hard to come by. So what you might want to do is go to your local gas station, tire center, junkyard, gather up lead, number one. That always can be melted down and made into various types of bullets.
In fact, that's what our forefathers did. They carried bulk lead with them. They had their bullet molds. They would heat a fire and a crucible on the fire and melt their lead, mold their bullets. And boy, we've got it easy today, don't we?
Yes, most everybody can just go down to the store now and just buy a box and put it on the shelf, and there they go. But in the old days, it wasn't quite that easy. So there's a multitude of places out there where you can get lead. Wheel weights is what you want to use, mixed with plumber's lead. Lyman has a recipe in their reloading book that combines wheel weights, pure lead, and solder, 50-50 solder, which is used as a hardener, the antimony in it, for your bullets. Then you have a sizer that you run the bullet through, and it puts some lube around the base of the, not the base of the bullet, but the sides of the bullet in the grooves, and it's for reloading. It's quite an operation. But like I said, you can go to your local camping store, sporting goods, and gun shops, and they can explain and show you, in fact, right there in the store, many of these processes. There's books out on the various subjects, and it's really not that hard to learn it. You can just spend a lot of hours, and it's kind of relaxing to do a lot of reloading. And to me, it's a lot of fun and a good pastime.
Well, it's that time again, folks. Now, remember, get ready. Find somebody in your area who's an expert that can teach you much, much more. We're going to be carrying this on and talking about it on the later show tonight. So if you can stay up that late, stay tuned. If you can't, you can order these tapes. We're non-CAGI members. They're $8 postpaid per tape of the hour of the time. For CAGI members, there's $6. Now, also remember this. Stay away from people who try to tell you that you need automatic weapons or that you need to know how to fight with a double-bladed knife. Stay away from them. Stay away from your neighbor who has an automatic weapon and is practicing fighting with a double-edged knife, because those people are setting you up to get killed real quick, and the people who fall for it, who learn these things, are dead meat. They just don't know it yet. Good night, and God bless you all.